You're listening to Activating Enterprise, our new series here on RNIB Connect Radio, in which we find out how sometimes life-changing events can become catalysts for positive change when it comes to career opportunities. In this episode, Mark Pollock talks about his journey from wanting to work in investment banking to rowing in Commonwealth Games, becoming an adventurer, starting a leadership consultancy, and venturing into public speaking.
My name is Mark Pollock, and I'm based in Dublin in Ireland, and I am a former adventurer, a sports person. I'm a speaker and a leadership consultant. I was born very short-sighted and had really thick glasses, so I had a tendency to have detached retinas if I got a knock on the head. So I wasn't allowed to play any contact sports. Lost the sight of my right eye when I was 5. I think I got a football or a frisbee in the eye. Certainly I came back from school and my glasses were broken, according to my mom. I only found that out recently, but I had a detachment which I didn't notice, and the doctors didn't notice until it was too late. And then I had a couple of detachments. They were fixed in Moorfields. I was doing fine. I just had to sit at the front of the room in school, and I made it to university, to Trinity College in Dublin. I rowed in school. I really went to Trinity College Dublin to go rowing rather than to study, but I was in my fourth year in 1998. I was about to graduate with a business studies and economics degree. I was rowing for the university and also for Ireland. And then I was going to go and start a job in investment banking in London. And in the space of 2 weeks, I had a final detachment with no bang on the head. The retina just hemorrhaged and came off it detached. Unlike the previous times when I'd have an operation, the sight would slowly come back. It didn't this time. And I went in for a second operation, still didn't come back. And then I was facing into the reality that that many people have faced, where you have to start getting your head around what it might like to be in this new world of blindness. At the time when I was interviewing for jobs in London, I remember I had a first round interview when I could see. I got offered a second round interview for working in the London Stock Exchange, and I went and did that interview when I was blind. I didn't pursue it anymore. The reality was, in those space of 2 weeks, I lost my sight, but I lost my sense of self, my identity. I felt like I was going to have to sit on the sidelines as a spectator, and I felt like I was being left behind. I didn't know that if I could study, if I could get access to information, if I could be independent. I didn't think blind people did the kind of jobs that I wanted to do. And I didn't think I'd be able to go back playing sports. So really, I was very impatient to get the blind toolkit in place, to get my white stick, to get a computer that spoke back to me. And it was 1998 when the internet was just, emails and the internet were just emerging, really. They weren't standard work practices at that time. So getting access to a computer, giving me access to information, allowing me to study, allowing me to get a job, and then ultimately, really, I wanted to be out racing again. So I was able to get back in a rowing boat with the possibility of racing in the Commonwealth Games. And that all took 4 years to rebuild my identity. But it all came with a huge amount of biases and prejudice against blind people, including myself. After the first period where I became independent and I got a job, and at that point, the company I was working for, the company went bust. I handed in my master's thesis and I got my medals in the Commonwealth Games. So it was almost like I was on a blank page again. Thankfully, around about that time, I met a person that I suspect lots of people listening to this will know, Miles Hilton Barber. And Miles Hilton Barber was on a trip around the world in 80 ways. Miles had just come back from running in the 6 marathons in a week in the Sahara Desert. And he's about 30 years older than me. And I said, well, that sounds impossible. And he said, well, it wasn't impossible because I've just done it. I've never been as fit as you because I'd just come back from the Commonwealth Games. Question is it impossible for you? He was setting me a challenge. I started to become an adventure athlete, and I raced 6 marathons in a week in the Gobi Desert. I raced at the North Pole, doing a marathon. I did the Dead Sea Ultra, an Ironman triathlon, the Everest Marathon, the highest foot race in the world. And then eventually, on the 10th anniversary of losing my sight, I did a 43-day expedition race, dragging sledges on cross-country skis, racing to the South Pole. And running alongside that, I set up a speaking business and a leadership consultancy to help businesses, to help leaders and their teams to adapt, perform, and collaborate better. So my career went in an entirely different direction, but it did combine things that really, perhaps looking back, that I was really interested in: presenting, telling stories, being involved in sport. And I was able to create a career and remained independent. So I actually end up thinking I ended up doing a job that was better suited to me than, I don't know, sitting down in a back office in an investment bank in a basement in London. So just when I felt things were on track, I just come back from the South Pole. I'd asked my then girlfriend to marry me, and she'd said yes. And my business was going well. The demons of blindness, that kind of loss of identity, feeling like I was going to have to sit on the sidelines. It took 10 years really to move from a spectator to being a competitor. And just at that point, a month before our wedding, I fell from a second story window onto the concrete below. And I think I must have got up to go to the bathroom that night. And like lots of people, I was using my hand to feel my way. And that night, my hand found an open space where the closed window should have been, and I cartwheeled out. I don't remember any of it, but the result was that I fractured my skull, I had bleeds on my brain, massive internal injuries, and a spine damaged in two places, leaving me with no feeling or movement from my waist down. So I ended up in intensive care. I was in hospital for 16 months, and I was facing into the reality of adding paralysis from the waist down to my existing blindness. Again, questioning who was I? Where did I fit in the world? Could I be an adventure athlete again? Did I have a story to tell? Could I continue with my speaking business and my leadership consulting? And I kept fairly close to what I'd been doing before, but the backdrop was different. I continued with my speaking business and I've developed that even further. But I switched from adventure racing to what I think of as a new expedition, exploring the intersection where humans and technology collide on a mission to bring people together and cure paralysis in our lifetime. So it actually involves many of the same skills that I got used to in my expedition racing. That is, turning up in the gym every day and acting as a guinea pig in the lab or in the rehab gym. So turning up walking in my robotic legs, which I've done over 1.5 million steps in, using electrical stimulation of the spinal cord, brain machine interfaces. It required me putting a team together, raising money, committing over the long term, continue with my consultancy business. I'm still doing the same job, just the adventures have changed. Sometimes we have the luxury of choosing the challenges that we take on, and sometimes challenges choose us. I think that is the only constant. What it comes down to is what we decide to do about it, whether we decide to be competitors, pursuing success and the knowledge that we necessarily risk failure. And that can only be done if we define ourselves by our willingness to try. We have to find something within us, but we can't do it on our own. And I think that's very, very clear in everything that I've done in my life. Whenever we find a way to ask for help, to work with other people, to offer help, whenever we find a way to collaborate, that's when we make the big breakthrough. So I think there are two parts. One is to decide to be a competitor, that comes from within, and then decide to be a collaborator, and that requires us to ask for help.
Mark Pollock sharing his story on our Activating Enterprise series. You can find out more about Mark by visiting his website, markpollock.com. Over the next weeks, we'll be sharing more stories like this one here on RNIB Connect Radio. If you would like to get in touch and share your own employment journey, the challenges, the successes, and everything in between, get in touch. Email radio@rnib.org.uk.